Access Sound Ideas. I'm Mike McCurdy. One of the five candidates running for mayor generally shares the fiscally conservative view, cutting spending and no new taxes, of some of his other Bloomington opponents. Robert Fike is a married 58-year-old retired firefighter and lives on Bloomington's east side. He joins two aldermen, the incumbent mayor, and a former radio talk show host as candidates for Bloomington mayor. Robert Fike, thanks for joining us on Sound Ideas. We appreciate it.
Thank you for having me.
Why are you running for mayor?
I'm running for mayor for a few reasons. The first one was the hotel proposal. I don't see that as something that the taxpayers should be on the hook for. In 2004, we had a non-binding referendum on the Coliseum, and the Coliseum was defeated by almost a 3-to-1 vote. The citizens of Bloomington were quite aware of what was going to happen, and it is happening, and we don't need to have another white albatross downtown in a taxpayer-funded hotel. That really got me going. The other thing that kind of sealed the deal is I went to the Donald Trump rally at the Bloomington Airport, and I was pretty ashamed and embarrassed that not one person from the city came to welcome him. There was no mayor, no alderman. It was something that I think that told me right then that we need a new mayor. A mayor should represent the whole city, all the people, regardless of his views. And I don't think that was done on that day.
Well, we'll talk more about the downtown hotel and the Coliseum. You're calling for across-the-board budget cuts on your Facebook page. Like what?
Yes, I think the number one thing in the budget is salaries. I don't want to cut police, fire, or the public service, but there's enough in there. The budget task force started it. I always say it was a good start, but it needs to continue, needs to get a little deeper. We need to look at something that maybe is a plan in which we can get people to retire a little earlier than what they normally do to save the higher wages that they're making.
Isn't the city at a near historic low for the number of employees? The number of employees has been dropping over recent years.
They've been dropping, but as you well know, in government can afford to cut a little bit more. Private enterprise, private business, they know how to cut. You and I know how to cut. We do it every day. We know how to tighten our belt when we want things, when we need things. The government hasn't learned that. The local government hasn't. They go out and they buy what they need, and they think about the revenue later, which usually comes in the form of new taxes.
So you don't have any specifics on the departments or the employees other than you would protect police and fire?
And public service, yes.
Public service. Aren't they all involved in public service at one level?
Well, the public service department, which includes the garbage pickup and bulky waste.
Public Works Department.
Public Works, yes.
You call for more efficiencies in department budgets. Can you give me an example of some inefficiencies?
Well, you know, when you have a government that has too many people, they kind of chase each other around. There's some duplications of services. I think by cutting it, you become more efficient because you have to. You have to have the duties go to other different people in the department. That's going to help streamline the government, have it become more useful. And I think as far as giving you particular things, I can give you things like in the fire department, because that was one place that I worked. There's a lot of training that we do at the fire department. There's a lot of training that could be done online instead of sending the people to a particular place. That would make it more efficient, more cost effective. I think a lot of things like that can be done in the government. I believe the travel needs to be eliminated. I believe company vehicles need to be eliminated.
Do you know how much that might save, eliminating company vehicles and travel?
I don't have a dollar figure on it because we have to look and see what's actually necessary. We may need to keep some of those. I'd like to get rid of as many as we can.
Because I could envision the city having to pay maybe more for mileage reimbursement if they're not using a city car.
Well, that's what we have to determine. What's going to be more efficient? What's going to be the best for the citizens of Bloomington? And that's who we work for. They're our customers. We can't forget that fact. We need to, we're obligated to them that we have to have this money spent in an efficient manner and not keep asking them to pony up on it.
Let's continue talking a little bit about spending in the budget. Also on your Facebook page, you ask, how underfunded are pensions for public safety employees? Have you found an answer to your question?
Well, no, and that's one thing I'd like to do. I'd like to have an independent audit of the police and fire pensions. Several years ago, we had one, and it was stated that they were way underfunded. I don't think the council liked that. They didn't want to hear that. They ended up using an accountant from the city who looked it over and said, no, they're okay. One thing the budget task force did that I didn't like is they always come back to cutting the payment or not making the payment to the police and fire pensions. And I don't think that should be an option. We had to, as employees, we had the pension payments taken out of our paychecks and it had to go directly in there. The city gets the option when to pay it. And what happens when you do that is you kick that can down the road and you are making someone else take care of the problem that you should have addressed at the beginning.
According to the city's budget documents online, the city is actually, according to them, ahead of the game and will exceed state requirements for 90% funding by 2040 and actually fund pensions by 100% by 2040. How would you improve on this?
Well, first thing is the independent audit. And that's not the only thing I'd do an independent audit on. The budget would be the other one. We went from
You don't believe that that they're actually headed towards 100% funding in 2040?
No, I don't. They've robbed Peter to pay Paul, and it's time to reimburse Peter now. And they haven't, which takes an increased amount of money. And they just like the budget task force, let's put that off. It's the same thing in the federal government with Social Security and Medicare. The payments were supposed to be made, but they were used for other things. And we're not funded the way that we should be. The IMRF is funded fantastic, but that's a whole different pension plan. And according to the state compiled statutes, we're obligated to fund these pensions.
If the independent audit that you want to do comes out and says, oh, well, the books do look fine and the city will actually fund pensions by 100% by 2040, is that appropriate? Is that adequate for you?
Sure. That would be adequate. That would be appropriate. It's just something that we need to see.
Where are you on the last utility tax increase of 2014?
Are you talking the motor fuel tax? Or are you talking
this was a utility tax on cable TV? It's tacked on to gas and electric bills.
Right. Well, all those taxes. I mean, you've got the motor fuel tax was placed on gasoline here in the Twin Cities, and was supposed to be diverted and go to street projects. I mean, we just had an amendment here in Illinois, and why did it take an amendment to have monies that were dedicated in the first place go to other things? It's the same thing with the utility tax or the sales tax. It needs to be kept for the particular item that it was originally meant for.
So the utility tax, the increase for the utility tax is actually going to public safety pensions. So is that something that you would favor?
If it's going there, yes. And that's something that we have to audit the budget to see where these things are going. And the reason I'm saying that is we had a $7 million deficit on the budget.
Isn't the budget audited every year as it is? Don't they bring in an independent auditor?
Let me give you an example. On the Coliseum, when they changed managerial firms, that's when they found out that there was some skimming happening on the concessions. I question why weren't they auditing?
That's an investigation that's underway. It's not been proven yet.
Correct. But why weren't we auditing earlier to find out this? Why did it take so long? And the city manager informed me that they had been auditing. It's just when the management firm changed, they dove deeper into the books. Well, when you dive deeper into the books, I believe that's the definition of an audit. So the audits that they were doing were not sufficient enough to find this. So yes, doing auditing.
So you want more, a deeper level of scrutiny.
Exactly.
Public safety pensions increased by about $2 million over the last 2 years. This fiscal year, the cost to the city will approach $10 million for those pensions. Are you willing to increase the property tax levy or the utility tax to cover the growing obligation in this area?
I don't think we need to. I think by cutting in the budget. But it's not just cutting the budget. There's a couple other things that I'm looking at, and maybe.
And those cuts include finding inefficiencies.
Finding inefficiencies, but the other things would be the Coliseum. I think we need to have it appraised, and I think we need to sell it. Enough's enough. We subsidize that thing every single year. It's been 10 years now. We were told it'd be self-sufficient. The citizens didn't want it, but now here we've got it. And it's time to cut our losses.
Sure. I've got one more. We'll get to the Coliseum.
Sure.
I have one more question on pensions. So you don't think we need to raise taxes for pensions? 42% of the city's property tax levy goes to pensions. As it goes up, that means less funds for city operations and capital projects. Since these pension costs are going to continue to rise, what do you cut and how deep do you cut to pay for this growing obligation? What's your plan?
We cut things. Like travel, we cut things like automobiles, we cut things like these frivolous studies that we do. We're almost the laughingstock of Illinois with these studies. They're done in a way that there's no local involvement. We bring in people from outside.
Sure. So had you been mayor and those inefficiencies and studies had been cut, would that have added up to the $2 million, you think, to actually make up the difference in what the city was paying and what they now have to pay for public safety and pensions?
Well, that along with getting rid of the Coliseum and getting rid of the number 5 fire station that sits empty out there on Six Points Road, yes.
All right. Well, let's move to the Coliseum. That's we're talking with Robert Fike. He's a retired Bloomington firefighter and an announced candidate for Bloomington mayor. You want to appraise and sell the Coliseum. Can you give me some examples of privately owned multi-purpose arenas and other similar-sized communities like Bloomington and how they're performing?
I can't give you any examples. I can give you examples of the city-owned ones, like Springfield and Peoria, that aren't making money and require a subsidy. But the city isn't the only entity that owns arenas. And one thing that I have found in government is when you privatize something, it becomes a lot more profitable.
Well, I guess what I'm asking is it even possible to privatize it? I couldn't find any examples of privately owned multi-purpose arenas in communities the size of Bloomington.
Well, I'll tell you, everything's got a price, and we can certainly sell that.
So how do you sell it? Who markets it?
Well,
who markets the Coliseum?
I think we'll have to market it through a commercial real estate firm. I like to use a local one to keep the monies here in the community. But we have to get it appraised first, find out what it's worth. And I'm not opposed to selling it for under appraised value because we have to get out from under the yearly subsidy that we have. We just did
pay how much is that subsidy?
$900,000 this year. I mean, that's a lot of money. And it's not in the general fund because it was supposed to be self-supporting. So now when you pay that money out, now you're running a deficit budget. You got to come up with the money somewhere along there. So,
I guess I would ask: does it have to be self-supporting? If it's a publicly used amenity, couldn't it be subsidized by the city so the citizens of Bloomington Normal and the surrounding area can use that facility?
Sure, if you have the money to do it. I don't think we have the money. I think the city should be in the business of providing police and fire protection, garbage pickup. We should have roads and sidewalks in good repair, water mains and sewers that don't leak and don't crack and don't break, and that is what a city does.
Sure.
Nowhere in there did I mention a Coliseum or a hotel. And if we pay attention to that infrastructure, then we're going to have the Bloomington. I mean, there's some water mains down there that were put in before the turn of the century.
Sure, and I've got some questions about infrastructure and roads and sewers as well, and we'll get to that. I have a couple more questions about the Coliseum. Mm-hmm. Who manages the Coliseum while it's for sale? I can't imagine Venue Works would want to stick around with an uncertain future. Or do you just close it down and sell it?
I don't want to close it down. I think it meets a need. Unfortunately, I don't think that need is. I would like to see a lot more going on there at the Coliseum. It's like every time I drive by, there's nothing there. If you have one show a week.
Sure. So Venue Works is a new management firm. They, of course, had some difficulty with their previous manager, but they did catch that.
Right.
So I guess maybe they deserve some credit for that. They have since brought in another manager. Why not give Venue Works a chance to see if they can actually turn it around and lower that subsidy?
How long do you wait? how long do you give them?
Well, you'll be the mayor, so what do you think is an appropriate timeline?
I think we've given that facility enough time.
But VenueWorks hasn't had that much time.
No, they didn't. They haven't had that much time, but I don't know. Maybe they would be a prospective buyer of it also. We have to check with them.
So would there be any sort of city control over the Coliseum if it were to be sold to a private firm?
The only control we would have would be, of course, doing code enforcement and ordinance. I think that's all we need to be doing.
What if they book a controversial act that leads to increased police costs? Should the city have some sort of say in what kind of acts are booked there?
If we're going to be into something that's controversial and it's going to cost them some money, we should try to get that reimbursed if it happens to be additional police.
So you still want some, there would have to be some strings attached?
Along that route, yes, we'll have to.
You mentioned code enforcement. What if the private owner just doesn't maintain it that well? What if it just sort of looks dingy on the outside? I mean, I'm not sure there's a code that says you have to wash the outside of your building.
No, but there is a building downtown, front and center, owned by Merle Huff. That has numerous code violations.
Well, a hotel would get rid of that, wouldn't it?
But why should we pay him for the building and have it raised? What should happen there is we should have code enforcement officers go in there. We should have them write up any violations along with ordinance violations, and that gentleman should be fined every single day until he brings it up to code, or if it's condemned, he needs to have it demolished.
That's Robert Fike. He's a retired Bloomington firefighter and an announced candidate for Bloomington mayor. You've said that you are not in favor of a downtown hotel. What is the mayor or any elected official's role in economic development or redevelopment?
Well, I think my role when I win the election is going to be the downtown area. We can revitalize the downtown. The mayor created a TIF district because he thinks that it's a rundown downtown, but it's like a blighted downtown. I don't think it is. I think it's historic, and I think we need to.
Well, the TIF district is, as the mayor likes to say, a surgical TIF district, and really includes the area surrounding and including the building you were just concerned about, code violations, the Merle Huff front and center building.
Correct. Right. But I think in downtown, what you need to do is you have to present a clean, safe environment, and businesses will come. Now, when I say clean, I would like to see because I've worked on the ambulance for the fire department. I've been there on Thursday, Friday, Saturday nights at 2 a.m. when the bars let out, and there's a flood of kids where the sidewalks don't hold them. They go out into the streets. There's broken bottles, paper. I've seen the kids urinating. I've seen them just tearing up the downtown. And what we need to do, one thing that's worked in Normal, is we need to go ahead and grandfather in on the liquor license and the liquor code, where 51% of the revenue comes from food. I think that's going to help. In the meantime, I think the liquor licenses should be raised in order to pay for the cleanup that we have to do every Thursday, Friday, and Saturday night downtown Bloomington.
The city is using TIF or tax increment finance districts to spur redevelopment in some areas. Where are you on TIF districts? They use revenue generated from future increases in property tax value for incentives or associated infrastructure, for instance. What do you think about TIFs?
Well, I think they have a place, but they have a place for a blighted area. I don't think downtown is blighted. I think we were jumping the gun there on this TIF, and I think it's because the current mayor wants a hotel so bad that
is the front and center building blighted?
No, I used to work in there. I wouldn't say it's blighted. It's run down, and it needs repair.
How bad does it have to get before it would be considered
blighted?
Well,
I don't think one building qualifies for a downtown being blighted. So, I think it's a historic downtown, and I think a lot of this we don't know. We looked at the pictures in the pantograph, but I don't know. How many times have code enforcement officers been in that building?
So if a developer said, hey, I want to build a hotel in downtown, and all the city has to do is build an associated parking garage using the future increased tax revenue from a TIF, not dollars the city is already getting, you would say yes or no?
I would say we have to look at it and see what we have at the time. If we're caught up on the infrastructure, if we've got some extra money that we can use on something like that, sure. if it's going to spur economic growth. But I still think there's other things you can do in downtown Bloomington that would spur this economic growth. And one of them is the convenience. If you go downtown Bloomington and try to park anywhere, you can't do it. They have a limited number of spots on the street.
They have two parking garages that are on the north and the south end of the downtown. Are those full?
No, they're not full. And I'll tell you.
So why not direct people to those?
Exactly. That's exactly what I'm saying. I worked downtown for 15 years. I've seen the musical cars where the owners will get out and move their cars one or two spots so they get an additional time and don't get a ticket. I think all the business owners, all the employees, and all the residents of downtown need to be put in the parking garage and free up the space for the customers. If you make it convenient for the customers, they'll come. If it's clean, they'll come.
How do you do that? Do you make the parking garages free and the on-street parking cost?
I think you'll have to have, in the garages, you'll have to have a minimal charge for it. But I think in order to enforce it, you'll have to have a large parking fine because I've been down there before. This is what they tried to do once. People ignored it and still parked on the street. You've got to have a hefty fine, $100 maybe, for parking on the street if you don't belong there.
$100.
I mean, we've got
three strikes and you're out, or just for $100 right off the top?
I say $100 right off the. I mean, this has been going on for years, so I think people.
Would you end up criminalizing some people just for simply getting a parking ticket?
$100. No, I'm not going to criminalize them for doing it.
Aren't you?
I think we're punishing them for taking the spots that should be reserved for customers.
We're running out of time, Robert. Sure. There's a lot to get to here. I want to talk about streets. The current mayor and council has been working to address a maintenance backlog that predates the tenure of many of them. What's your plan to catch up and then keep up?
Okay, here's the problem with our current mayor and administration. They don't seem to understand freeze and thaw or frost and heave. That's a process here in a cold weather climate in which water gets into cracks, and when it freezes, it expands, and when it thaws, it breaks up concrete.
If Bloomington were in Wisconsin, our roads would be in better shape.
Exactly.
We're not. So how do you go about fixing them? What's your plan?
You can't let it go 4 years. You've got to stay on top of it. Every year, you've got to be working on the streets, and you can't give up on it. Now, it seems like the only time we got any repaving done in Bloomington was when there was a water main break. Well, I think what you do is you create a list, just like you're going to do for the water mains, with the oldest first. These are going to be the worst streets, and you attend to those first. But before you tear up the street, before you pave it, you check the water main and the sewers so you don't have to dig up the street.
Sure. So
later on,
staff is presenting regularly to aldermen as they work toward a 5-year community investment plan, or CIP, to address roads, infrastructure, sewers. What are your takeaways from this process and the presentations on roads and sidewalks so far?
Well, it's a good start, but this is something that should have been happening a lot sooner. I think it's a good start. We need to address it. And again, if we're addressing the infrastructure and we forget about these other items like the Coliseum and the hotel, we're going to be able to get it done. It's just something that seems to, it reminds me of the budget task force. We had the budget task force when we had the deficit budget that came out with recommendations. I think we need to have that for every year on every single budget. Let's make it a permanent task force.
A preliminary plan drafted by the city manager, David Hales, in July identifies $336 million in capital needs for all city departments, including almost $60 million worth of projects that have funding secured, $276 million worth of projects that don't have any funding. A lot of those we're talking about, that includes roads, sewers, infrastructure. Infrastructure is a big thing for you.
Yes.
Where do you get that kind of money? Can you cut enough to pay for the backlog? Or are you going to have to look at some sort of revenue increase?
Well, I don't want to raise taxes. I think we're taxed out. So what I would like to do is continue the cutting and see what we have from there. It's a work in progress. I mean, you can't say, no, there's not going to be any taxes.
The mayor says you could cut all of Parks and Rec, and that would only save $7 million.
Well, there's so many things that pet projects that I think are I mean, we had a study, what I call, for these Mickey Mouse signs. They're welcome to Bloomington signs that we spent $70,000 on a firm that the city council is just thrilled because they developed the Walt Disney World sign.
Sure, $70,000 versus $60 million in infrastructure projects.
There's a big wide gap. $160,000 for a firm from Champaign to come over here and tell us what departments need to leave the city hall for the government center. Now, all these add up. If we stop these frivolous studies, if we cut salaries, sure it does.
To 60, let's just work with the infrastructure.
Does it add up to 60? I'm not sure if it adds up to 60.
Okay.
We have to take a look at it and see. But you know what? That would be a good start.
Okay, Robert Fike, a good start on a conversation that could have been longer. We appreciate your time on Sound Ideas. Candidate for mayor in Bloomington, thanks for your time. We appreciate it.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
Robert Fike is one of five candidates for mayor. The field will be pared down to two during a February 28th primary election. The general election for the remaining two candidates is April 4th. This is Sound Ideas on 89.1 GLT and WGLT.org, Bloomington Normal's Public Media.